So let's consider now the five element symbolism in the stupa. I've mentioned that the five elements are represented by different geometrical forms, different three-dimensional figures of different colours. So we can combine these, and that gives us Earth, a yellow cube. Let's try and visualise a yellow cube. Water, a white sphere. Fire, a red cone or red pyramid. Air, a green bowl or a green saucer. And ether or space, a flame-coloured jewel shape. And we can go a step further. We can place these differently coloured geometrical forms one on top of another. First the cube, then the sphere, and so on. And in case any of you find it rather difficult to visualise, Brenda's very kindly done us, if she wouldn't mind turning the board round, an illustration which shows us these geometrical forms in ascending order with their respective colours. So we see the yellow cube, earth, the white sphere, water, the red cone or pyramid, fire, the green saucer, which is air, and then the golden, some translators call it acuminated point, but I prefer to say jewel-like shape, because I think it looks rather more like that. Now, we see that here, the five elements have been arranged in an ascending order, that is to say, in an order of increasing subtlety, or order of increasing release of energy. And of course, the whole thing gives us the basic structure of the stupa. The stupa is built on, or built up out of, these geometrical forms of increasing subtlety, or these elements of increasing subtlety. So we may start by saying that the stupa symbolizes the whole process of growth, of development, of higher evolution, of progressive liberation, freeing of energy. And therefore that it embodies, in architectural terms, the whole meaning of Buddhism in general and the White Lotus Sutra in particular. And it's small wonder, therefore, that the stupa is so widespread or so much an object of fervent devotion. Now, you may remember that the five elements are also correlated with the five psychic centres in the human body. Now, suppose we have in front of us a stupa of the same height as a human being seated cross-legged as though in meditation. And suppose we put the two side by side, the stupa of that height and the human being seated cross-legged as though for meditation. Then if we pick out the psychic centres up that person's median nerve, and if we follow them across to the stupa, we shall find that the centres correspond with the different successive geometrical forms, that they'll be in the same line, as it were. Now, in the course of centuries, the basic structure of the stupa underwent many changes, or rather modifications or adaptations. Some had a definite spiritual basis, others were merely architectural or cultural. Now, suppose we do something. Suppose, in between the sphere and the cone, we interpolate another, smaller cube, so that we have in between the sphere and the cone, that it was a standing on the sphere and supporting the cone, a small cube. A small replica of the cube at the bottom, that is. And now let's suppose that the whole stupa thus created, the whole six element, as it were, or six shape structure, is hollow. And suppose we place a cross-legged human being inside the stupa, so that he's sitting inside. Where would his eyes be? His eyes will be on a level with, on a level with that second smaller cube. And if that cube happens to be transparent, we would then see the eyes. Now, what are we reminded of at this point? Those at least who've had any acquaintance with Buddhist architecture, the stupa, or who perhaps have been to Nepal, we're reminded of the typical Nepalese stupa. That is to say, stupas like those of Swayambhunath or Bodhinath near Kathmandu. Because in these stupas we find on each side of the Harmika, as this second higher cube is called, there's a pair of eyes painted. And when you see these stupas, of, as I've seen them, rising above the landscape in the distance with these eyes on the sides, they do produce a very strange effect indeed. Especially because these stupas are of enormous size. They absolutely dominate the landscape. And as you look up, you see these great pairs of eyes. And these pairs of eyes seem to be looking down at you, or onto you. And they seem to be looking down at you, and it doesn't seem to be your imagination, with, as it were, a slight frown. They're just ever so slightly disapproving. Now, what does the presence of these eyes, these pairs of eyes, on each side of the Harmika serve to remind us of? Serves to remind us of the fact that, in a sense, the stupa is the human body itself, or is correlated with the human body itself. To remind us of the fact that the formal elements of the stupa correspond to the psychic centers, and that both the formal elements of the stupa, in the order that they are arranged, and also the psychic centers, in the order in which they are arranged within the human body, both represent an upward, a progressive movement, a movement of development, or spiritual evolution. But a question arises, why should the Harmika have been interpolated? Why should that second cube have been put there at all? And one even might go further and say, why should the cone and the saucer and the jewel even have been added to the two original simple elements, the cube and the sphere? Why did even that development take place? And one might also ask why the conical part of the Nepalese stupa is divided into a number of sections, which make it look as though it consists of a number of rings of gradually diminishing diameter.